Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're going to kick off this hour with a very special, you know, interview about a new film called The Cove. Now, you can check this out, thecovemovie.com. I had heard about this film a few months ago. I heard Hayden, what's her name, from Heroes? Paintingting, or what's her name?
Hayden Christensen?
No, the girl from Heroes.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, yeah, the hot girl from Heroes makes a cameo in this film. But it's basically about, I think it's about shedding some light on a Japanese dolphin slaughter that happens every year. And we have Simon Hutchins on the line. He is the director of expeditions for this filming, not just this film, but I think he's done
for the Ocean Preservation Society. That's what he's the director of expeditions for.
Right. Okay. Well, Simon, welcome to Scuba Radio. How you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you, and thanks for having me, Greg.
No problem. Now, The Cove, I know this is one of many projects you've been involved with, so we're going to focus on this, and then maybe we'll get into some of the other things you've been dealing with there, Simon, with the Preservation Society. But The Cove won the Audience Award for the Sundance Film Festival and all, a whole list of other awards. Now, like I said, I've just seen the trailer. I know a little bit about the film as far as it covering this issue with the dolphins being slaughtered in Japan in this, obviously, cove area. But why are they being killed, first of all? What's going on
with
this?
Yeah, let me just make a couple of statements to get rolling here. The reason the film's won so many awards, the reason we won at Sundance is because the film is about so much more than just dolphins. It's a story about guilt and redemption. It's a story about truth and lies, corruption, bribery, all of these things that are going on in the world that are the real crux of the problem with the environmental issues that we're having. And that's where the film really hits home. What we did with The Cove was we were trying to develop a story, and we needed something that was going to convey this to the public in a way that they really couldn't deny that what was going on. And we were able to wrap all of these environmental issues up and present it in this dolphin movie. And we went to Japan to cover a small aspect of the overall story that we're working on. And we found that they were actually capturing these dolphins to sell to dolphin parks around the world. They get a lot of money to sell these dolphins, $150,000 for some of the beautiful young females that they capture. And the ones that didn't make the cut were then basically annihilated and sold as food. Now, the problem with this is twofold. Any world zoo organization, for example, if you had an animal you wanted to sell to San Diego Zoo, you would not be able to sell that animal unless you were able to prove it was caught in a humane manner, and you would not be able to sell that animal if you had selected it specifically out of the herd. Whenever a zoo takes an animal, they'll get one animal from the herd, and that you get what you get. You can't, go through and just select the most beautiful young females. But that's exactly what they do here in Japan, and then they sell those animals to zoos, basically. They're marine parks around the world, but they're accredited by some zoological association. So all of the animals that are then unselected are basically butchered for food, and this food is incredibly high in mercury, very toxic, go around and hunt in the wild top-level predators. It's just not done. It just doesn't make sense. It's never been done before in human history. So why is it being done now?
Well, good point. I mean, what is the? I mean, are the Japanese eating dolphin along with everything else? Is that the deal? I mean, are they actually they're eating dolphin fish?
Dolphin meat, yes, they're eating dolphin meat.
Hmm.
Dolphin mammals, not dolphin fish.
It's being sold in the supermarkets as whale meat. It's being mislabeled.
Okay. Well, that's what I was saying. It's surely
healthier meat from the Southern Ocean when really they're getting dolphin taiji.
Yeah, well, whale meat is one thing. That's an issue in itself. But that's what I was wondering. It's like, are the Japanese actually eating dolphin, realizing they're eating flipper? Because that surely isn't going over real well.
In towns like Taiji realize yes. But they can't sell all of this meat in Taiji. They can't sell it all in Iwate. They can't sell it all in Okinawa, so they export it to the rest of the country. But people in Tokyo aren't going to eat dolphin meat. They may eat whale meat, so they relabel it as whale meat. But you say the whaling is a different issue. It's really the same issue, and that's why the Oceanic Preservation Society ended up going down this road. You know, we started off with Roger Payne talking to one of the world's foremost authorities on whales, and he was telling about all these issues, about how he had worked back in the 60s to start the Save the Whales movement. All of this is in the film as well. So this is why The Cove is such a fascinating film. We go on the history of Flipper, the history of the whale movement, the history of Japan's involvement with the IWC. The actual parts where we go to Taiji are a very, very small part of the film. Unfortunately, it's been very sensationalized in the media and has become a very hot talking subject.
Well, and just to prove your point, I've got a question about it. is this the sort of thing that the dolphin fishermen, for lack of a better name, do they know that they shouldn't be doing it? Is it the sort of thing which they realize that, you know, corralling these fish and separating out the females to send off to marine parks around the world and slaughtering the fish for the dolphin for food? Do they realize that they shouldn't be doing it?
Well, if the trailer's any indication, I'm guessing they're not big fans of the film.
Yeah, no, the 26 fishermen in Taiji are not big fans of the film. But they don't know about the legalities of it. And they're being told by their government certain things. They're being told stuff by the Whaling Museum, which is just down the road. Oh, this is what we want you to do, and this is okay. It's all legal. And so they're doing what they're told. They're just fishermen.
Right.
Just like in any other place in the world. You know, I'm Canadian. My brother-in-law is from Newfoundland. I know a lot of East Coast fishermen. And they're fishermen. That's what they do. You know. However, in Canada, on the East Coast now, the whole fishery had to be shut down because there was no fish left.
Yeah.
The government then had to say, okay, you guys, we're going to have to take care of you. We're going to have to re-educate you to do some other jobs, get you into some industry. So there's lots of things that these fishermen could do other than go out and kill these dolphins. But they're being told by the government now to continue doing it because the dolphins are a pest. The dolphins are eating too much fish in the ocean, and you need to go out and, you know, cull these pests.
So it's the Japanese government is really what is screwing over everybody
absolutely.
Here, it sounds like. Okay. So now this film...
I was just going to mention, though, but when you see the film... The Japanese government's involvement at the International Whaling Commission just highlights this to the nth degree about how far the government of Japan is willing to go to perpetuate killing of whales and dolphins.
Yeah, well, you know, when I brought up the fact that the whales are a different issue, I didn't mean that they were different in that they're being exploited by the Japanese like dolphins. But eating whale meat is kind of entrenched in their culture. And that's been some of the problem, I believe, over time. I'm not so sure I see that with dolphin meat.
Right. Well, it's not really. That's just a lie as well. They tell you it's part of their culture, but it's such a small percentage of the Japanese people that even eat whale meat. So it's not like turkey on Thanksgiving dinner.
Well,
and even in North America here, a lot of people after the most popular film on the subject, Food Incorporated, might not be having turkey for Thanksgiving dinner this year because... they're realizing how the factory farming industry of producing meat in North America, producing chickens and poultry and all of these other things in North America, are morally wrong. We shouldn't be treating animals like that, period, whether it's a chicken, a pig, a cow, or a dolphin.
Okay, well, fair enough. Hey, we'll promote two movies at once. Why not? But the Cove. The thing about that is cool from this film is how you guys had to go in and film this basically undercover. I mean, just from what I've seen on the trailer, it is quite a covert operation.
Greg told me you actually dressed up as a dolphin to do this. Is that true?
Did he tell you that? I told you not to say that, Greg.
Well, now, you know.
Funny enough, Rick O'Berry is so well known now in Taiji, he actually dressed up as a woman a couple of times.
Now, so, yeah, okay. that was on a Tuesday night, and you know drinks are two for one down at that bar at the end of the street.
Yeah. Ladies' night.
He was very popular that night, the karaoke.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, that's the guy who trained Flipper, right?
Correct. Rick O'Berry from Miami. He's the original Flipper trainer. He actually captured the five dolphins that played the role of Flipper on the TV show. And towards the end of that, he started to realize that this is wrong. These are sentient, aware beings. They have a very highly ordered social structure. It's a very matriarchal society where the mother takes care of the children, perhaps even for life. But the children might stay with the mother for 50 years.
I got a brother like that.
And at the end of the Flipper show, he decided that he was going to campaign against dolphin captivity and try to make the people of the world aware how important these animals are and how highly ordered their social structure is. What turned him around was the death of Kathy, the main Flipper dolphin, actually committed suicide in his arm, took a breath, sank to the bottom of the pool, and never took another breath. Just recently, I was with Jean-Michel Cousteau. He told me a story that when he was a young apprentice working with his father, who was still in high school, and he was working at a place that had some captive dolphins, and he kept saying to the vet, "This dolphin here is behaving weird," and they're like, "Oh, don't worry about it. They all do that, you know." He went in to help out one day and found that this dolphin had died. It had swam headlong into the end of the pool and killed itself. And he had tried to warn them about this. So these animals get highly stressed in captivity. They are, you know, it's like putting you in a concrete box and not letting you out and just throwing you food, you know, rice and beans underneath the door of the cage. That's basically what's happening here.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a big fan myself. I prefer seeing them in the wild, just like we're going on a liveaboard cruise a week from today, and we're going to do that in the Bahamas and go see the dolphins in their environment. They come, you know, swim with us on their own accord. I think that's the best way to do it if you want to go see that kind of wildlife.
In the Cove, too, you'll see that wonderful footage of Sandy swimming with the dolphins, and that was filmed in Bahamas as well. So I'm going to go out on a limb and guess you're going to the same area where we shot some of that stuff.
Absolutely, we are. We'll compare notes after the break and find out what kind of dive gear they were using to film The Cove. TheCoveMovie.com. Check it out. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Yeah, Mooloolaba, Australia. You might find dolphins there, too. I don't know, but that's not where we're going a week from today. It's off the coast of the Bahamas out of Freeport, northern Bahamas. And Simon Hutchins, who is the director of expeditions for the Ocean Preservation Society and part of the film crew and production crew for the Cove movie, thecovemovie.com, The Cove, is on with us talking about this. So that... You're going, or you guys filmed part of the Cove, the movie, right there where I'm going next week. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Just north of Freeport, we had a wonderful trip out there, and Mandy and Kirk had these wonderful experiences with the dolphins there, wild dolphins. And in the movie, it's one of the most heart-touching scenes.
Very nice.
Hardy Jones, one of the original dolphin saviors, has a wonderful... a film that he did a lot of footage out there in the Bahamas as well. And Gene Flipsay, who runs charters out there, was involved with the Hardy Jones movie as well.
Yeah, well, Gene is going to be on the boat with us next week. He's going to be our dolphin encounter expert.
Yeah, and Gene actually went on a trip to Japan with us and helped us film some of the stuff in the cove.
Wow.
There was a when Hayden Panettiere and all the surfers, David Rastovich, went out to paddle out into the lagoon. Gene was one of the OPS cameramen for that.
Well, that boy has been hiding out on me. He never told me he's been hanging out with Hayden Panettiere from Heroes, because that girl is hot, and I can't believe he hasn't mentioned that. How is she involved in this film? What does she do exactly?
Well, she got involved with a guy named Jeff Pantikoff, who is the whale man. And Jeff Pantikoff's been campaigning for, Save the Whales. I mean, they have an organization called Save the Whales Again, because, you know, we didn't quite save them right the first time, and this problem is still existing. So Jeff Pantikoff has this organization, and Hayden Panettiere got involved with him. And so that's how Hayden Panettiere became a whale-saving environmentalist.
I've seen this in movies before. You just parade her out in front of the fishermen and distract them and then jump in the water and save some dolphins. Is that how it works? Because that's how I would do it.
That easy. No, it was just a peaceful protest, a very Gandhi-esque, that David Rastovich had organized, and he got a hold of Jeff Pantikoff and got some of these people involved. David Rastovich brought out Isabel Lucas from Australia, who is in the recent Transformers film. She's also one of the surfers that paddle out during that scene.
All right, it may have been very Gandhi-like, but were they wearing bikinis? Come on, fess up, Simon.
Well, it was. They were in wetsuits, you know. They weren't.
Oh,
bikinis.
Well,
it's cold.
It was a peaceful protest.
Yeah, that sucks.
All right, now here's the question, though, and this is something we do want to find out a little bit about. What kind of technology? What kind of gear were you using to get those shots there in Japan, where you were really kind of undercover?
Right. Well, when we went to Japan, we had to get the cameras into the cove, because obviously the fishermen don't want us to film this for obvious reasons. All this publicity that we're getting, we're getting a lot of publicity in Japan now. A lot of Japanese that don't know this is going on are now aware of it, and so they didn't want us to film it. So we actually hid some cameras in rock. We had these styrofoam rocks made up, and we would have to sneak in there in the middle of the night. I've been doing a lot of free diving with Kirk and Mandy over the last few years, and I was able to free dive in there as well. Kirk and Mandy did the majority of the free diving, and they were able to swim down, hide the underwater camera rock that we had. They also placed hydrophones. We had a guy out in Washington State, Cetacean Research, named Jules, and he made these wonderful hydrophones for us that we would put on the light and motion housing, our gate housing, and then Kirk and Mandy would swim out into the lagoon, free dive down to 50, 60 feet, and put these on the bottom of the lagoon. The rest of the film, when Louis and I and the rest of the OPS team were traveling around the world doing the dolphins in Bahamas and stuff, we'd use Inspiration Evolution rebreathers. Sometimes we'll be underwater for 3 hours at a time. We're humping this gear. It's a little bit heavy. You have to take oxygen and soften the line with you, of course, everywhere you go. You can't just rock up somewhere and get some air. But the advantages of it are that you're silent. You become one with the environment. We can sit down there, no bubbles, no noises. There's no bubbles getting in the way of the shot. There's no bubbles distracting you personally as the photographer. It's a very calming experience diving on the rebreather.
Yeah.
And, with these Inspiration Evolution rebreathers, as with all closed-circuit rebreathers, the gas is so warm and moist, it's very comfortable. You don't give off heat every breath.
It allows them to be totally incognito to get these shots they needed to get. All right, more coming up on The Cove next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
We started producing Scuba Radio in 1990, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power power claw latches. Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. Simon Hutchins is our guest right now on Scuba Radio. He was part of the crew, the film crew, for the movie The Cove. Check it out, thecovemovie.com. Now, I got to ask you, Simon, I know this has been in limited release up until now, but what's the deal? It's getting ready to expand nationwide finally, or what's the deal exactly with the release of the film?
Well, the film's been going around different cities in the United States, so kind of been moving around about 30 different cinemas, city to city. So we should have a fairly long release, you know, and hopefully it'll come to a city near you. We just don't have the resources or the media power to be in 2,000 cities all on the same weekend. So we're trying to do, you know, 30 to 50 cities each weekend and move it around. Some cities do fairly well, and the movie will stay there for a few weeks. Some cities were just in there for a week or 2 weeks, and then we'll move on to another city.
Okay, well, that's why we wanted to get it out there on the show, because obviously there's a big diving of element to it. You mentioned Kirk, and you're talking about Kirk Crack, who's a world record free diver and friend of Scuba Radio, has been on the show many times. And a lot of the people that have been involved in this film have actually we've talked to in the past. And I just, you know, I was a little bit of aware of this film, but I'm just now becoming aware of it myself, and can't wait for it to come to my area to check it out. And divers, obviously, a little bit more passionate. They're kind of ambassadors for the underwater creatures, and this is a movie with a message, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Kirk Crock and his wife, Mandy Ray Cruikshank, wonderful ambassadors for diving and for ocean issues, and it's been a pleasure working with them. I did a lot of work with performance freediving and became quite a good freediver myself by my association with them. So, yeah, it's like you say, everybody that's involved with the film, we're all professional divers or been involved with the professional dive community in one way or another. And the movie is really a passionate plea for preservation of the ocean. When Louis and I started OPS, you know, the mission was to make a beautiful movie that would make a difference. And, you know, we feel that we've accomplished that.
All right, very good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Simon. Once again, it's thecovemovie.com. Go there, check out the trailer, and find out where it's going to appear in a theater near you, and educate yourself about this issue with dolphins and whales. More coming up.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's ocean madness, all right. Sailors call it aqua dementia. The deep down crazies, the wet willies, the screaming moist.
You're an ocean, you're an ocean. Settle down, what's a commotion? I'm an island, but you're an ocean. It's a stormy sea of love and emotion. You got me suspended motionless in time.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Engineer. A week away from our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, doing exactly what we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, diving with dolphins. Hopefully we'll see no dolphin slaughters or massacres like the film The Cove evidently documents. That's sad to hear that's going on, but hey, that's one way to make people aware of what's going on. in the world, and you know, you go see the film or just learn about the issue. Maybe as a diver, educate your friends and tell them what's going on, or go check out the film yourself and get involved. Maybe, who knows, next thing you know, you might be hanging out with Hayden Panettiere or whatever her name is from Heroes, in some kind of Gandhi-like protest. But if it was up to me, if they really wanted to get big-time numbers for this film, I can't believe they had those models or had those actresses in wetsuits. That's not the kind of protest I would put on. I'd go more the PETA way, even though I don't necessarily agree with what PETA does. When they do the whole Pamela Anderson thing and she's naked, that gets a pretty good press as far as I'm concerned. And even if it doesn't, I'm going to watch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, couple things want to pass along to you. We mentioned this last week that we have a special offer right now going on the merchandise page for Nanook protective hard cases. You can go to the merchandise page right there at scubaradio.com. We have this company's out of Canada, and if you have a underwater camera that you need to travel with or just pack up in a nice little foam-formed case, this thing will protect it like nothing else on the market. It has the best latch technology I've seen ever, and they come in a wide variety of colors, and the price is phenomenal. We have a special introductory price right now on the merchandise page that you need to take advantage of, but I'm telling you, you need to go there now and buy these things, because
there aren't a lot.
There are very few, and once they're gone, they're gone.
And when you say there's nothing like it on the planet, this is kind of an extension of what we were talking about with the Oceanographic Preservation Society. Imagine, if you will, that you took a polar bear and you killed it with your bare hands, and then you gutted it,
right?
And then you put your camera equipment inside of that polar bear. Imagine how safe it would be. That is the level of safety you get with the Nanook.
I'm not so sure that's the deal, but the case itself is as robust and strong as a polar bear.
There we are.
It's like having
a
polar bear protect
a live polar
your
bear.
Equipment. Yes.
A live polar bear, not
exactly.
One that you killed and gutted yourself.
Right. Say you throw your camera off a skyscraper.
Right.
It's like it lands on a polar bear first before shattering in 1,000 pieces.
That's nice. What would make a polar bear shatter into 1,000 pieces?
No, the camera would.
Oh,
if
I'm
there
sorry.
Was no polar bear to break its fall.
Oh, right. I got you.
Yeah. And
it's all
so
making
Nanook,
sense to me now.
You know, from the Great White North is there to protect your gear.
I'm wondering if
and
we should
and you can put more than camera gear in there.
Oh. Really?
Anything
yes.
that you want to protect. Maybe you have a laptop computer. These cases are the perfect size for that.
Babies?
But you could have put a baby in there. They are airtight.
So it's going to be a problem.
I would suggest some kind of air delivery device as well.
Rebreather for my baby.
Maybe. But they are very, very cool cases. Nanook protective hard cases. And the reason we're doing this, once again, they are out of Canada, new to the market, and they really just don't have their distribution set up in the U.S. yet, so we've made them available at the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls, We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Hi, my name is Ravi. I'm from zip-fiji.com.
Oh, my God, I'm twisting around. I'm backwards. Help me! Oh, my God.
You are listening to Scuba Radio.
I'm going to die.
World's first radio show devoted to divers. On a surface interval, don't forget to come ziplining with me.
Woo-hoo!
In the meantime, keep listening to Greg, the Dive Master. He's also a zipline master.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I live!
You survived the zip.
So, Evie, do you have a change of pants or anything I could...
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, there's a reason why this is a radio show. And that clip right there pretty much illustrates why.
Okay. I thought it was all the radio gear and equipment we had.
No, that's not it at all.
No, you just can't take the risk of being filmed.
Exactly.
Because you may poo yourself.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? Hey, but I do get a lot of toys for my diving adventures, whether it's filmed or not. And as I mentioned earlier, the Oceanic OC1, a new dive watch computer that Oceanic just came out with. I have this thing on my wrist. I'm ready to go diving. I got to wait 7 days because that's how long it's going to be before I head over to the Bahamas.
I was going to say, what are you, quarantined?
Yeah, well, I got some packing to do this week.
Nice.
No diving until a week from today. But I do have the new watch. I'm trying to learn how to use it. But here's a guy on the line who's already using it. Actually, I don't know. Is he on the dive boat right now?
I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, I
thought why don't we ask him?
Pete. Pete from Scuba Board is on Scuba Radio.
Hey, Pete, we got a quick question.
How you doing, man? I just got off the dive boat.
Just got off, okay. And were you using your OC1 from Oceanic or what?
Are you kidding? Of course I was. It's great. I love it.
So
we're lobstering off the coast of Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, well, first of all, then, the most important thing is how many did you catch?
I caught four lobster that I could keep.
All right. So four, you could have had a maximum of six. So
That's correct.
You lost today.
He's batting 666.
And how many lobsters did you get, Greg?
Okay. So anyway, you did well. So that was off of Palm Beach, you said you went?
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale.
Which is
okay.
Really what he said, yeah.
Yeah. So Fort Lauderdale, and but you were using your OC1, so...
It was great. It's great because it's air integrated. I don't have to sit there and fuddle with my my pressure gauge. I just keep looking at my watch, so I save time and have more time looking for lobster.
Right. Now, I know this thing has this dual algorithm feature.
Isn't that cool?
I was explaining it earlier on the show here, Pete.
He's doing a great job, too. He's a master of all things.
Maybe you can do it better than I do, because obviously Bill didn't understand what the hell I was saying. I mean, which algorithm are you using?
Well, it depends on the type of diving I'm doing, Greg. You see, today I did recreational dives, and so I used the DSAT, the DSAT. It's sort of like the PADI tables, except in a computer. Use the same algorithm.
Okay.
And that gives me longer bottom times when I'm doing a more of a recreational diving.
Okay,
now,
all right.
On Tuesday, I'm going to be going cave diving. I'm going to be doing long, dark, and deep in caves, and I'm going to switch to the other one. Okay, because it does better when I'm going to deco a lot. For repetitive deco, that's the best algorithm to use.
All right, so the other algorithm's more for decompression diving, technical diving, deeper diving. And if you're going to do that type of diving, you have that algorithm to switch to.
You know, and it's really great because we've always been penalized in the past. You've had to carry several different watches, several different computers, especially if your buddy has one. You know, you always want to match what your buddy's algorithm is if you can. And this way, you know, we can switch between the two algorithms and get real close to what our buddy is diving with. So we both have to come up together rather than one saying, boy, I got gypped, you know.
Right. Right. Now, when you're diving today, I know this the OC-1 also has that dual air pressure monitoring system where you can actually...
Dude, how righteous is that?
Well, did you have anyone else on the dive that you could monitor their air pressure or not on today's dive?
Well, actually, I ran a bottle for decompression just in case I ran into it on my second dive I did. And at the right depth, I switched over to look at that bottle. And actually, instead of just running off of my 32% nitrox, at 20 feet, I went to 100% oxygen. And so I was able to do a lot more off-gassing, take care of my decompression. Wasn't a large one, only 10 minutes. But I was able to check those gases. Now, I could have checked the buddy's gas as well, because we could check three gases. Okay?
Right.
And it's programmable, so it knows if it's a buddy's gas or if it's my gas. If it's on my gas and I go look at it and I switch to it, then it says, okay, let's switch a little bit here. He's on pure oxygen. He's, you know, decompressing a lot faster.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a cool feature. I mean, and you probably know better than I do. Doesn't it interface with other Oceanic wireless computers, or is it just
all Oceanic wireless computers?
That's
use the same transmitters.
Yeah,
I've been diving them for a long time, and in fact, Greg, I've been diving it right along with the VO250. They're very popular nitrox, just to see how they relate to each other.
Right.
And I've been pretty impressed with the DSATs are just like the VO250. You switch off of it, and it's exactly what they say. The recreational vibes, you get a little gypped on, you know, a few minutes here, 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there. But for decompression diving, it's a far better model.
Yeah. And, you know, the other neat thing about this watch, too, it looks like it has a water plug on it where you just plug the special USB cable right up to your dive or right up to your laptop or desktop computer, and it automatically downloads the profiles or something. Isn't
it,
that right?
It does. Now, have you installed the OceanLog system into your computer, Greg?
I have not. This thing is brand spanking new right out of the box and onto my wrist. So
okay,
other than
like a
powering
prototype.
It up. Yeah?
I guess I'm expendable.
Well, okay, yeah, exactly. You're one of their guinea pigs.
One of the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
But yeah, now here's the best part about the OceanLog system. You put it on your computer, it installs all the drivers that you need for that USB interface. You don't want to plug it in before that.
Okay.
But now you can actually go look at your dive, Greg, and see where you screwed up sometimes. You know, I remember when I first started diving with a computer, it wasn't an Oceanic, but a long time ago, and I first looked at that computer, I realized I was doing safety pauses instead of safety stops.
Hmm.
So this is a good way for you to analyze your diving and seeing it. You know, are you a good diver? Are you holding your depths? You know, are you doing a half stop? That's the other great thing about this OC-1. Boy, I can plan a half stop if I go below 80 feet, so it stops me for 2 minutes at my half stop. And instead of doing those measly 3 minute safety stops, I can program it for a full 5. I like safety, Greg.
Yeah, safety is a good thing when it comes to diving, and the OC-1 has plenty of safety built into its operation.
And as a continuation of that, we're going to have sausages when we come back from this break. Safety sausages.
No, okay. I got it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We've got to dive.
getting down with my OC1, my OTS full face mask with comm gear, a buddy phone attached, my Reef Photo Sanyo underwater camera, and a Patima housing. Thanks to the folks at ReefPhoto.com.
I really like the Patima housing because it's got that nice slight sweetness. Tastes a little bit like almonds. Am I right? Is that the right?
No, kind? That's no. This is a underwater video housing made for the Sanyo camera by Patima, which is a Korean company.
Okay.
That the gang down at ReefPhoto.com hooked me up with, and I'm shooting high definition underwater video.
Nice.
Still haven't edited any of this crap. Took
nice
it up
job.
On the scubaradio.com website. But I'm working on it. I swear to you, I am making progress.
What kind of progress are you making? Are you editing some of it, or are you thinking, oh, look at this, I'm 15 feet closer to my computer? What kind of progress? Because I know you sometimes measure progress differently than I would. I thought about it twice today. That's one more time than yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a 100% improvement.
Well, that you know, hey. You know, I got a full schedule.
You do 2 hours of radio a week. 2 hours
of
radio. Okay, we're going to count the other show now.
Yeah.
All right, so 4 hours of radio a week, and then you go diving on, practically every spare moment that you have. Yeah,
right.
Nice, tough life you've got working
there. And that leaves me to edit video when. Okay.
Maybe after you've made
Point
the kids
made.
Breakfast.
Oh.
Do you make breakfast at home in the morning?
No, hell no.
Do you make sandwiches for school?
No.
They're
old enough to make their own.
What do you do?
Taco Bell. I take them to Taco Bell. What do you want?
What do you do with all of your time?
But the bottom line is I am getting it. The problem is, honestly, on the video is I've been learning a new video editing program. I've been trying to do this whole Final Cut Pro thing, and oh, my God, it's been way more intense training than I expected. And so, you know, the good news is I'm going to learn how to do some pretty cool stuff. The bad news is it's taken forever to learn that. So, you know, I got all this raw footage that we've been filming with the mermaids, with dolphins.
That's what I like, raw mermaid footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, you know, we will get it up there on the website soon. So
when he says get it up there. No, that's what he meant. Never mind. Forget it.
Yep.
Waving me off there.
All right. Well, that'll do it. This week's special, a week from today, a special broadcast of several special guests that are going to be on the show. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to be live from the deck of the Caribbean Explorer 2, thanks to our friends at Explore Ventures, the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. So make sure you do not miss that special broadcast. Till then, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good night, everybody. I
feel a little dirty now.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.